Welcome into another edition of SEC Football and Beyond. I'm Neil McCready, Chris Landry here with me as well, as always. It is Tuesday, February the 23rd, almost 9 a.m. Central as we hit the record buttons. Hope that you all have thawed out from a pretty frozen weekend. There's still ice on the ground here in Oxford, Mississippi, though most of it's gone. So it was quite a week from a weather standpoint. So hopefully everybody out there's thawed out. You got your power back, you got your water back, all of those things. We'll talk about a lot of different things today, including whatever you guys want to talk about in the thread. If you have some things you want to us to address, bring them up. Yeah, Anthony Patronella right away, Chris, says, how about them Rebs?
I got a little Rebs focus here.
Texas sweep. It was interesting. There was I don't know how much you kept up with it up here. You almost have no choice but to keep up with it. It's a pretty big topic. There was a baseball tournament in Arlington, Texas, at the home of the Texas Rangers, I should say. It was Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas from the SEC, Texas, TCU, and Texas Tech from the Big 12. All six of those teams entered the tournament ranked. The SEC went 8-1. On that tournament. The only loss was Mississippi State lost to Texas Tech, I think. I think that's the one loss that happened. Ole Miss went 3-0. Arkansas went 3-0. Mississippi State went 2-1. I was looking at a D1 baseball poll that came out this morning. I don't have it in front of me, but I can give it to you roughly. Ole Miss is number one. Arkansas is number two. Vanderbilt's number four. Florida's in the top 10. Seems like another SEC team's in the top 10. Mississippi State's in the top 10. LSU's like 11. Auburn's in the top 25, like around 19, 20, somewhere in there. Don't hold me to it. Maybe there's one other one. I mean, the league is just loaded. It's the thing we do. We do this in basketball every year where the league tries to convince us that the SEC is going to be this elite basketball conference. And it really never is. And in baseball, it's the one time they could really hype it up because it would live up to the billing. It is a loaded, loaded baseball league. There are probably five, maybe six teams, depending on what you think about LSU. And it's too early to have any real hardcore thoughts. But there's probably five, maybe six teams in the SEC that are legitimate national title contenders, which is amazing.
I would imagine in some of the areas, one of the reasons when we throw in the weather topic makes you wonder a little bit. It's the way it's always been, but we discussed a little bit about weather last week. I just don't know how, unless you're going to put money into a program, and not many of these baseball programs have money. I mean, I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, February and even in March, we talked about the weather cycle. I really don't know what the hell you do with baseball. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm probably wrong on this, but I've always thought that, and this is the football guy in me, that I think basketball should be a second semester sport. And I know it's difficult academically, but boy, wouldn't it be great for baseball if they just started late, like they started in March, in April, and kind of went through and finished maybe in early August, like the College World Series. Could you imagine they would? I'm not saying they would take over the sports world, but that's a dead time of year in sports where you got Major League Baseball in the regular season and you can have quote unquote the Fall Classic in August instead of June. I don't know. I mean, there's probably a lot of good reasons. I'm not a baseball guy, you know. I only coached baseball in high school. I've never been involved in college baseball. There are a lot of reasons why you can't do it, I know, but
yeah,
just selfishly, I'd love to have it that way. It would bring more interest to it, I think.
Yeah, it probably would. It wouldn't work because of Major League Baseball and when they do their draft, and so many guys want to play. So many the elite college baseball players want to play in wood bat leagues in the summer. And then the other problem you would have is from a financial standpoint. Like you mentioned, there are programs that make money with college baseball, but there aren't many. And so if you have them on your campus in the summer playing, they have to be on scholarship in the summer. And so now you're adding expenses to your bottom line. And at most of these programs around the country, college baseball programs don't make money. They they lose money or they barely break even. So the, you know, the number of programs like LSU and Arkansas and Ole Miss and Texas A&M and Mississippi State and probably South Carolina, that's probably the extent in the SEC of the ones that make money. The other ones, like if you're Missouri, for example, you'd be like, we're not doing that. I mean, so I think that's where that kind of falls apart. But you're right. From an ideal standpoint, that would be cool. But
where do you think, and I'll give our listeners a chance to chime in on this, because you mentioned that, talking about making money. Where do you think baseball ranks? Because I got this in from an administrator. Now, this is it's about a year old, but it hadn't been another fiscal year since, so I think it's pretty accurate. Where do you think, obviously, we know football and men's basketball, 1 and 2. So you don't need to rank 1 and 2. Where do you think, nationwide, factoring in everybody, where do you think 3, 4, and 5 rank on moneymakers in collegiate sports?
3, 4, 5 with football 1, basketball 2.
Men's basketball 2, of course.
Moneymakers nationally. Nationally, your moneymakers probably stop there.
No. But I mean, correct. Big, huge drop off. But of the ones that either make money or lose the least amount of money, however you want to look at it.
Yeah. Grind has a good point. Could be gymnastics is one that is very popular on the campuses where they have it. People pay to. Those are very difficult tickets at a lot of places. Baseball would be.
Think money. Yeah. TV. And everything involved with it.
Well,
Softball
makes some money from a television standpoint. The networks like televising it. It's an easy broadcast. It's cheap to broadcast. It's 2 hours. You can program it. I guess women's basketball makes some TV money.
Women's basketball is 3.
Okay.
What's 4?
I'd guess baseball, but I would probably guess that I'm wrong.
That would be wrong. So I will. Baseball's 5.
Okay. Softball 4.
Hockey.
Hockey's 4. Yep. In the northern part of the country.
In the Northeast and the Midwest. It's interesting. Now, you know, how do you. Again,
Michigan and Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Minnesota's big. And that whole. And then all those little, like Bemidji State and places like that. That's factoring in revenue, which a lot of those places have the, you know, the. I call local leagues where they don't travel as much. So you're taking revenue and you're taking expenditures. It's interesting. I heard that from a conference, an athletic director type conference, and all where they are. Anyway, interesting. But I know we football show, but you started off with a little basketball. Seems like Kentucky and Duke are kind of making a run to get in the bubble talk anyway. For people that thought they're done, I guess they're like the Jason with the mask. Can't kill them, huh?
Well, it's a little bit of that. And it's also, you got to remember, I mean, there's no sport, with the possible exception of football, there's no sport that's more, you do have to have chemistry on the floor than basketball. And you look at like what Kentucky's done over the years with remaking their roster year over year, bringing in 7 or 8 highly recruited kids and forming a team year after year. Well, this year they didn't really get to bring them in the summer until later in the summer. The workouts were COVID-centric. You couldn't have really team workouts. You could work out individuals. You could work out a couple of guys at a time, but you couldn't do all of the things that you would normally do. And then the season didn't begin in a normal way. Now, Kentucky is one of the exceptions. They've played 21 games. Actually, doesn't make them an exception. They've played 21 games. Normally, by this point in the season, a team like Kentucky would have played 28, 29 games. And if you go back and look at some of the Kentucky teams over the last few years, they always kind of struggle a little bit in November, not to the extent that they did this year, but they always struggle a little bit. And they start putting it together, and then they make that run. And by the middle of February, they look really good, and they go into March, and they're peaking, and they've played 30-some-odd games, and here they go. What's happening is that they're starting to have some chemistry. They're starting to play well together. I watched a good bit of their game at Tennessee on Saturday. And they were just better than Tennessee. And there's no shortage of athleticism on that Kentucky team. But what there was earlier in the year was just kind of a bunch of guys that didn't look like they played well together. And Calipari is a very good coach. He doesn't get credit for it, but he's a terrific coach. And he's begun to kind of figure them out a little bit. And they're dangerous right now. Kentucky 7-7 in the league. They're 8-13 overall. They were scheduled to play tonight against Texas A&M. That game has been postponed because Texas A&M has all sorts of COVID issues. I'll go ahead and touch the for those who are wondering, the basketball slate. Alabama's 13-1. They've already clinched at least a share of the league championship. They can clinch the overall league title with one more win or a loss each for Arkansas and LSU. Arkansas is 9-4. LSU's 9-4. Both of those teams really playing well. Florida is 7-5. Tennessee's now 8-6. Missouri is 7-6. Ole Miss and Kentucky are 7-7. Mississippi State 6-8. Georgia 6-9. Auburn 5-9. South Carolina 3-9. Texas A&M a disaster. 2-6. They're missing so many games. And then Vanderbilt is 2-10, 6-12 overall. The games tonight, by the way, LSU is at Georgia. Florida is at Auburn. Those are both 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central games. Ole Miss is at Missouri. It's an absolute must-win game for Ole Miss. A big rematch opportunity for Missouri. The last time those two teams met in Oxford, Ole Miss won by 21. I suspect it's going to be a little different game tonight. And then tomorrow, South Carolina is at Mississippi State, Tennessee at Vanderbilt in a game Tennessee really needs to make sure they win. And then a big game tomorrow night at 8 on ESPN2. It's Alabama and Arkansas. Alabama can clinch the SEC outright. They're going to win it anyway because they're not going to go 0-3 down the stretch, certainly. And for Arkansas, it's a real opportunity. The Hogs are hot, and they have a chance to not only punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament, I think they're already in, but they have a chance to start getting into that conversation about being a top four seed if they could beat Alabama at home. So that's your slate tomorrow. That game, by the way, will be very good. It's on ESPN2 at 9 Eastern, 8 Central from Bud Walton in Fayetteville.
Hey, for those of you that are wondering and tuning in for some football, going to get to that in a second. Want to get into some ranking of the SEC rosters that I did recently on Landry Football, but I want to advance something. So there's been a lot of talk and criticism by some about Kentucky and then Duke, the one and done. And I've done some thought, not a lot. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have much time for it. But I am intrigued because I always look at other sports. I mean, going back to coaching in high school when you got to coach everything, you know, I love all sports. But being that football is 12 months a year, I'm always looking for edges and ideas and different ways, like, you know, hockey scouts and basketball scouts and coaches and how they do things. So, you know, the whole talk about the one and done and the way it is, you follow the NBA more than I do. I haven't followed it strongly since Bird Magic, and I keep up with it when I have time. I'm not quite sure. There's a lot of criticism of John Cal. All he wants to do is just get guys in and onto the NBA. And you just hit on something that this is an unusual year. Obviously, we know. So the normal development rate, I would say practices, how they practice, what they do, just the development. When you're taking elite talent, there's an assumption, wrongly so. And I know basketball is more of a player sport. It's less practice sport and more playing, just like baseball. Football is a practice sport. Baseball, basketball's a playing sport. So you can go up and down the field and develop a little chemistry on your own. But when you're limited with that, you really retard the chemistry in what is normally, as I see it with Calipari, is taking a whole bunch of elite talent. And he's kind of relates to them well. And he kind of browbeats them. And by the latter part of the year, right now, they're better than they are in the early part where, you know, he talks and say, these guys don't know how to play. They don't know how to play defense, can't communicate, yada, yada, yada. You hear the same thing from Cal all the time. And quite frankly, just hearing, it's kind of annoying, but I mean, I think just the whole whining thing, even from the UMass days, he's obviously proven he can handle really good players, recruit good players. He's at a place. I think this has had a tremendous impact, but I'm wondering, the criticism is, I'm not quite sure what you do in basketball these days. If you're going to get the best players, they're not going to stay more than a year. Oh, you might have a guy that just for whatever reason stays an extra year. So you're going to have either, and I'm not so sure, I wouldn't prefer to be at a Gonzaga or someplace to where you can develop guys longer. But if you're going to be at big time programs, it's one of two ways. You're going to have to develop lesser guys that become really good players that play together, maybe a good shooting team, good team defense, whatever. Or you're going to have to do the one and done. And I don't know that Cal is really built to do it any differently. I know Krzyzewski has done it differently, and he's now adjusting to the modern era. So, your thoughts on, it's going to be more of the same, and obviously this is a unusual year because of COVID.
Yeah, I'm willing to give John Calipari a one-off on a bad season. And I'll be honest, I won't be surprised at all if Kentucky is playing deep into the SEC tournament. And it won't surprise me if they win it. We've touched on this. The teams that are going to that SEC tournament that already have their ticket punched to the NCAAs. So you're talking about Alabama, obviously, Arkansas, Florida, LSU, Tennessee, and maybe Missouri. The top few of those teams, especially if Arkansas can finish strong, if Florida can finish strong, those kind of teams, man, they don't really need to be in Nashville very long. They want to get out of there, not only because of the COVID stuff. Remember, you got to test, negative 7 straight days before you can report to the NCAA tournament. So you got to make sure you handle all that. And then you don't want to get somebody hurt. You don't want to roll an ankle in a meaningless SEC quarterfinal game, and suddenly one of your best players is unavailable for the first round of the NCAA tournament. You know, because if your ticket's punched, let's say you're Arkansas, let's say you go 2-1 down the stretch, they're probably going to be a 4 seed. So they're not going to fall any further than about a 5, and they're not going to get any higher than about a 3 when they get to Nashville. You don't need to be in – you're playing games that are they're pretty meaningless in Nashville. Well, the game that you're going to play that first round in Indiana will not be meaningless. It will have your season on the line. So there's a chance Kentucky's going to run into some teams that are like, we really don't care about being here, and kind of game. So Kentucky could still make the tournament. But that being said, look, they go get the top players in the country year in and year out. They have created an absolute factory there. It's I was listening to an NBA podcast the other day, and the joke was, this was a team that had 3 Kentucky players on their roster, and they were talking about acquiring another player who happened to play at Kentucky. And the joke was, yeah, well, every roster has 3 Kentucky players on it. And that's why they have become the Alabama football of basketball. And so what they've done, and what he's done really, really well, and it's the reason I think this year is a one-off, is he berates them early. They all kind of gang up together to prove coach wrong. And by the end of the season, they're playing with a lot of effort, a lot of grit, and they're immensely talented, and then the talent overruns. Well, this year, because of all the COVID stuff, you can't do some of the team-building activities that you would normally do. You can't even do some of the team dinners and kind of things that you would normally do. You're telling guys, don't hang out in groups because you got the contact tracing. You want them after practice to all kind of leave and disperse from one another. And so I don't think their team has had as much time off the floor for chemistry as they normally would. I just think what's happening with them is they're just sort of probably too late gelling a little bit. And the other thing, not to be too long-winded about it, a couple of their guys started the season as lottery picks, and they're not lottery picks. They're not quite ready for that. So there's a real chance that one or two of their guys who people thought would be straight to the NBA might stay another year. They'll bring in another group of young players, and then next year they'll be hell to pay.
Interesting you mention Kentucky's the Alabama, because that's exactly – I was on a Kentucky show recently, and the basketball conversation bled in somehow. And the conversation was, Cal's not getting it. This is the Kentucky fans, and not a lot of them. You know, and your typical Kentucky, and Joe B. Hall can attest to that, and everyone. Calipari's not getting it done. One time, he's only won one title at Kentucky. Well, he's only won one title, period, because he lost that game when he was at Memphis. So he's only won one title. It's not working. And you know, Alabama fans wouldn't put up with Nick Saban winning one title. And, you know, we're not happy. He's got that lifetime contract.
It's so much different.
It's interesting. It is. But there is no Nick Saban Alabama version. In the closest thing is Duke. And Duke, it's been a while since K won one. I don't know. It's hard to do it.
Yeah,
it's a different sport. You can't develop. You can't develop.
Well, the tournament's different too. The tournament's different. Winning a, you see, like for example, far more upsets in a basketball season than you do a football season.
Right.
Totally different game. You know, you can. One player in a basketball game can just get super hot. One team can get super hot from the floor, from the three-point line, can make it a four-minute game. You see it in the NCAA tournament every year. It's one of the beauties of the tournament is that typically the best teams get to the Final Four, but you get upsets in the first round and the second round. You get them every single year because, look, pulling names out of the hat, Creighton isn't going to beat Duke in a seven-game series.
Correct.
But Creighton can beat Duke in one game. Kid for Duke turns an ankle, misses 12 minutes. Kid gets in foul trouble, and two kids for Creighton go, you know, 8 for 11 from the three-point line, just jacking up shots and throwing in a banker at the buzzer and stuff like that. Next thing you know, it's an upset and all that stuff. That's what makes college basketball. It's what makes the tournament fun for people. But it also is what makes winning a championship so difficult. I tend to look in college basketball at regular season rankings, at conference tournaments, judging that a little bit more. If you're dominating the regular season year in and year out, year in and year out, you're an elite program, and Kentucky is absolutely that.
Let me remind some of our younger folks too, because I can remember starting to watch college basketball, or really following it, because it wasn't on. But before cable, you didn't see a whole lot of it. When John Wooden, the great John Wooden, you only need to win two games to get to Final Four. I mean, it was a 16-team tournament for years and years until the latter stages. He ended up in 75. So, I mean, it was – and he had only one team per conference. And I can remember USC having some really good teams, couldn't even make the tournament. So, yeah, it is a little bit of a niche. It's a tournament sport, which I think has hurt the – you know, the regular season, maybe to some. Well, I shouldn't say it. For me, it does, but my life has changed. But anyway, no, it's interesting. It is much more difficult. It is, you can build a program, and a great program in football will put you in a position to be there in the Final Four, and then you win two games. And right now, Alabama's just quite a bit above everyone, with a couple of exceptions. So if they can figure out a way to beat the Ohio States, the Clemsons, the Georgias, and whoever else is the great team that year that's in a one-off, they're right there. Whereas you're right, there are a lot more obstacles. And you can have a bad shooting night in basketball. It's interesting. So
well, you can have a really good basketball team with just one or two players. I mean, I grew up
– yes, you can – it's right.
I grew up in Ruston, and there was a forward at Louisiana Tech named Carl Malone.
Yes.
And they were – they made the Sweet 16. And
yes, sir. I remember that team very well.
They were 1 3-pointer from Wayman Tisdale away from going to the Elite Eight.
And right.
Probably getting to the Final Four. So the point is in basketball, it's so much easier to build a great team than it is in football. You know, the other thing, and you mentioned the word niche, and you're right. And here's the deal, as we sort of transition to some football, what's changed with the sports calendar, and I think it's a credit to the NFL, and I think it's a credit to just the power of football in this country. There was some people like on my message board, rebelgrove.com, that were really worked up, frustrated that the tournament that we mentioned at the beginning of the show wasn't being televised anywhere. Organization called Flow Sports ran a stream, and they had broadcasting. It was pretty rough, but it was there. But they were like, hey, why is MLB Network not showing this? Why is some of the Fox affiliates not showing it or whatever? And it was, look, man, here's the deal. Nobody likes to hear this, but the only sport that can say it's not a niche sport today is football. The NFL's king, absolutely king, no question. The NFL has figured out a way to stay on the front page, if you will, 12 months out of the year. They might take 1 month off. I guess the NFL sort of takes June into July sort of off before they reopen camps. But the NFL has the season. Then the NFL has free agency. Then the NFL has the draft. Then the NFL sort of has the mini camp deal. And then they take a little time off. And then, boom, here they are, late July, right back at it for another 10.5-month stretch. College football's figured out a way to be relevant almost all year. You have the season, then you have recruiting, and now you have the transfer portal, which I know you're going to talk about in a minute, and then you have spring football, and then they take a little bit of a break. So college football's relevant from a news standpoint 9 months out of the year. No other sports that way. College basketball's truly only relevant from a media standpoint starting right about now through the NCAA tournament. The NBA is not truly relevant from a mainstream standpoint until the playoffs. NBA does really well in the playoffs with ratings. People love the playoffs. They talk about the playoffs. It's a major front page deal when the playoffs are going on. Major League Baseball has become a niche sport. Ratings are way off. Attendance is down. And I'm an MLB guy. I love it. And so, you know, people talk about like,
yeah, the best time of year goes up against football.
It's against football. And then so people talk about, you know, we're talking about college baseball. And the truth is college baseball is a real niche sport.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a niche real niche. It's truly like hockey. And, you know,
yeah. They
couldn't give a flip about college baseball. And I'm not saying some Big Ten teams do. I'm not saying they don't. But, no, it's weather related. You're right. No, look, to your point, when I started in the NFL, when the season ended, there was no free agency my first couple of years in the league. So basically you sign who you wanted, you release who you wanted, you'd head draft preparation, and that was it. Before I joined the league, I don't know if people know this, but guys like Archie Manning, when Archie Manning was drafted, the draft was in January. So there was a true off season. There was not anything you did. Oh, you might have a trade here or there, but there just wasn't anything going on. And then training camp was just ridiculously long. It would start right around July 4th, right after July 4th, because it was like 8 weeks long and you had six preseason games because you had to train. You had to, these guys, Roger Staubach sold real estate in the offseason. And, you know, I mean, that's just what you did. You just hit it that the money has changed it and it's created free agency to where the NFL has done the best job of marketing. The NFL owns the calendar pretty much every month. There is more. It is amazing to me that the NFL draft draws better ratings than an NBA playoff game going head to head. That the combine, which we don't have this year, is better ratings than the best college basketball game of that day, that weekend. It's the NFL free agency is kind of the March Madness. College basketball has its, you know, 3 week March Madness window. Like you said, the NBA, it has its little playoffs, but it's not the same. It used to be that's what people did. They went from now. So many people are following as much about what's going on with draft stuff and recruiting stuff, well, mainly draft stuff and free agent stuff. And hey, God bless them, because at LandryFootball.com, we love you and we're glad for that. That makes the world better for us. But no, that is exactly right. And it, to me, in my mind, it changes the whole landscape and has made the sport better. I used to like college basketball more, but I don't know if it's but I do remember when you'd at least see Patrick Ewing play 3 years. You know, yeah. I mean, you'd see that. But then it also coincides when the world of football that I was involved in wasn't 12 months a year. Now, as it's 12 months a year and it's my job, I don't have as much time to follow it. So when the game comes on Saturday and it's up there, I I sit there and say, oh, so-and-so's playing, and I'm working, and before I know it, another game's on. I missed. Who won that game? You know, I just don't get into it. Like, I used to love that as much as anything, the Big East days and the great teams. It's just changed a lot.
Well, and the pandemic has really hurt it this year, too, because the product on the floor is what the product on the floor kind of always has been. What makes, you know, what makes college sports fun for people is the passion, the crowds, the emotion, the when you watch a, you know, Michigan-Wisconsin basketball game and they're, you know, going at each other and there's the student sections right there on the floor. You watch a Duke game and the student sections right there and the game's loud and the team's trying to pull off an upset at Cameron and stuff like that. You watch a game at Rupp or a game. There were a couple of games in the SEC last weekend where, you know, normally that would have been a much different environment. Kentucky at Tennessee. Normally when Kentucky comes to town at Tennessee, Thompson Bowling's rocking and the kids are excited and all that stuff. And it was kind of dead on Saturday. Normally when Mississippi State comes to Ole Miss or when Ole Miss goes to Mississippi State, the student section can be heard at those games. It's loud. It makes for a fun environment. There's nobody there now. So the game's been impacted in a negative way from an optical standpoint. It's been damaged. It's the truth is I get paid to watch it. Otherwise, I don't know how much I'd watch. It's difficult to watch. It's a slog, frankly. And so that's affected it this year. I'll be curious to see what the tournament looks like. The tournament all in Indiana. The NCAA will probably do a good job with it. Those games typically, especially early on, aren't full because, you know, the arenas are big and they're not full arenas until Sweet 16 kind of deal. Be curious to see what it looks like, what it feels like. Hopefully for the kids that play, it'll feel like an NCAA tournament. But it's a sport that's been harmed, I think, more than any other sport. College basketball has been harmed by the pandemic and the attendance limitations and all of those things. It's been impacted. The quality of play is not as good. The optics nowhere close to as good. It's a difficult watch. I would venture to guess that college basketball ratings, when it's all said and done, the TV ratings are way down.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about sports and rankings and big games. Yesterday was the 41st anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. And I don't know how many of you out there were alive because I don't know the age of all our great listeners.
I remember.
I know you probably do. I tweeted it out yesterday. I remember everything. But what I remember about it is, so the gold medal game was on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And in the afternoon, there was this huge, huge Kentucky LSU basketball. Dale Brown had a team that was, well, headed to the Final Four that year in 81. He had a team that went to the Final Eight, Dwayne Scales. Anyway, it was the excitement around that was like Saturday in the fall. Like, I mean, it was that type of feel. Like, I don't get that anywhere anymore. I think they get that in Tobacco Road, maybe, you know, maybe in Lexington, maybe at Indiana. Well, Indiana's
been college game. I remember, Chris, along those lines, I was in college, but Duke with Christian Laettner and Grant Hill and Bobby Hurley. They went down to LSU to play LSU with Shaquille O'Neal and those cats. And
I did see that. I was there for that.
People waited in line for days.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Yeah.
Get into the PMAC. And that is a glory day of college basketball that's long gone, because in today's college basketball, Shaquille O'Neal would be long gone after 1 year. And he should be, because, man, I mean, you can't put that kind of money on the table and go, oh, I'm going to go to college for another year or 2 years. Christian Laettner wouldn't have stayed at Duke for, what did he say, 4 years?
I think he did. You know, yeah, you're right.
Grant Hill stayed at Duke for 3, maybe 4 years. Bobby Hurley played at Duke for 4 years.
Yeah.
Those kinds of teams, they don't happen anymore. I mean, even more recently than that, the Florida team that won the back-to-back titles.
That was unusual because they came back. They decided, many of them decided to come back. That's never going to happen again.
No, Joakim Noah would have gone pro. Al Horford would have gone pro. Tarian Green would have gone pro. It's a different world today. And unlike a lot of people who think, oh, we should eradicate the one and done. And if you start, you have to play 3 years. I don't like that. I understand the people say, well, baseball does it. I'm like, yeah, but that's different. It's just, I don't like the rule. I think if you're ready to go make NBA money, I think it's wrong to be able to stop you from making NBA money. And if you do that, what you're going to get is more kids go straight to the NBA from high school that aren't ready at all, and they just get lost. And so I don't know. I don't know that I think it's one of these quandaries that doesn't have an answer. Like Grimes here, and he says NBA rules should be, and this is a majority opinion. He says NBA rules should be either you come right out of high school or you have to be 3 years removed from high school. And I get it, and I know there's a lot of people who feel that way. I don't like that rule. I don't. It doesn't feel American to me. So if you blossom at 19 and you're going to be the fourth pick in the NBA draft, you have to stay two. I know people go, well, it wouldn't happen very often. I get it, but if it ever happened one time, you're going to be the fourth pick in the NBA draft and you have to go back to Michigan State for two more years. I don't like that at all. And there's no place for them to go. There's the G League. They're working on that, but it kind of is what it is. Sometimes things grow and change, and college basketball just isn't what it was, what it once was. And you know, I don't know.
It's not for me. It's not good for college basketball, and that's why I think college basketball's kind of lost. It's like I said, it's maybe right by the player. And certainly, well, we're having some of the issues in football. And as we transition to that, it's football's more, in my opinion, a developmental sport. I mean, you have to develop skills in baseball, and baseball has ways to develop though with their minor league system. Basketball probably could maybe put more money into, to your point, to development. You know, to where you have more of a, hey, they get paid, they get developed, they're not ready for the NBA, let's get them paid, let's give them housing, let's do this, that. And instead of being a far student and just be there 1 year, maybe you could do that. I don't know. In football, there is no option. You have to go to college. That's where you develop.
Yeah.
And it is a much more developmental sport. And often, even if you have skills and even if you're physically gifted, you're not emotionally mature enough to handle, you know, people have asked me, you know, Adrian Peterson was probably the closest physically that when he came out of high school, he's a man. I mean, he was a man, but he wasn't a man emotionally and handling the dealing with it. And even the guys that are big and dish out punishment, they take punishment too. And the long length of the season, you're not prepared for it. In fact, I think it's difficult in college to prepare for it. But we've got now the transfer portal. I was looking at a couple of things, looking at some guys that I think are the most impressive looking transfers as relates to mainly the SEC. And it's really more in Gainesville with Eric Gilbert, Florida, coming in, and DeMarcus Bowman coming in. They've got two guys that you have to factor in. We've talked about ranking classes, which I think has some merit, but I think sometimes it's a little bit missing, and I'll get to that in a second when I rank the SEC rosters, which I've been working on. You've got now the transfer system, and unlike NFL free agency where you don't get good value, college free agency is going to bring you pretty good value. Those two guys are going to be really good. I'm curious to see what happens time-wise with Henry 202, probably Alabama, but probably going to be a little bit later. Those are the guys. Wandale Robinson, Kentucky's got a couple of good big transfer from out of Michigan State that's a big receiver. But Wandale Robinson, if you hadn't paid attention or forgotten by now, is a really talented receiving weapon that never did a whole lot at Nebraska that is going to be featured there in Kentucky. Really good get for them. And then an underrated guy is Mike Jones out of Clemson, the linebacker heading to LSU. Those are guys that I think are really some key guys, at least in the, excuse me, in the SEC. Now, Wanya Morris going to Oklahoma from Tennessee. No question that the exit portal, the school that just stands out is Tennessee. It's like all the guys. I mean, we've got of the top 10, I think four of them are from Tennessee that moved on. I mean, so it's or moving on with Joe Tiltu. So those are some interesting things. I want to get into this a little bit, Neil, because I've been working. I've got it up on Landry Football, and I got every conference broken down. So what I did was took the rosters of each of the teams, talking SEC, SEC football, and beyond. So I took the classes of the past five classes, and I factored in some of the guys' movement, but you know, and kind of where they went. But I've looked at the one loss record, and we don't grade guys. The colleges don't. The work I do for them, we don't grade them as 4-star, 5-stars. We grade them into numbers. But I'm not going to sit there and tell you how many 6'9", 6'5", since that doesn't resonate. So what I did, it's transferred older to categories of 5-star and 4-stars. So I'm going to give you a ranking of the SEC, of the rosters, of the players on the roster now and the players incoming. And I'm going to give you that. I'm going to start from the bottom. And I'm going to kind of do them in tiers because 14 and 13 are pretty close. Vanderbilt, as you might imagine, is got no 5-stars, 4 4-stars, and 1 4-star coming in. Their records 20 and 39 overall, 8 and 33 in the SEC over the past 5 years. Missouri, 0 5-stars, 6 4-stars, 2 4-stars coming in. They're in the bottom. In the next tier, 12, 11, and 10. 12, Kentucky. No 5-stars. However, 24 stars. 4 coming in this year. So there's a little bit of, we're going to see a little bit of a flippage here in this last tier with the guys coming in because South Carolina has got 2 5-stars, 24 4-stars, but none in each category coming in this year. And then Arkansas, 0 5-stars, 20 4-stars, with 3 coming in this year. So that means 20 on the roster and 3 more coming in, so total 23. Here's the thing that was a little bit surprising. Well, you know, a little bit to me it was, but I think this is going to begin to flip. The next tier, 9 and 8, are the Mississippi schools. Ole Miss, 1 5-star, 16 4-stars. But 7 coming in. So you already see this is, okay, hold on. This is, we're seeing the trend starting to, Mississippi State's in that same tier with 1 5-star, with 18 4-stars, 5 coming in. Then in the tier by themselves, that 7 is Tennessee. Now, Tennessee's, keep in mind, this is as it is. As things change, and that you got to do it at some point, right? But the transfers are going to continue. No telling where this is going to end up. Tennessee, 5 5-stars, 31 4-stars, 9 4-stars coming in this class. Then you've got Auburn, 2 5-stars, 44 4-stars with 4 coming in. Florida and Texas A&M are 5 and 4. Florida, 4 5-stars, 1 coming in, 44 4-stars, 12 coming in. Texas A&M at 4, 4 5-stars with 1 coming in, 38 4-stars, 16 coming in. LSU's in a tier by themselves at 3 with 7 5-stars, 2 coming in, 34 4-stars, 16 coming in. And then 2 and 1, Georgia, 16 5-stars, 4-stars coming in. 51 4-stars, 11 coming in.
Wow.
Alabama, 12 5-stars, 7 coming in.
Mm-hmm.
58 4-stars, 16 coming in.
Oof.
I know that's a lot of stuff, a lot of numbers, and it just gives you an idea.
Where can people go look at that now that they've heard it?
LandryFootball.com. Go in. I've got each conference. So if you're a fan of the ACC, the Big Ten, Big 12, you can see the whole. Go to LandryFootball.com. It's ranking of the SEC rosters for 2021. Go to Landry Football. You got it there. And we've got a lot more details about some of the whys, but I thought it would be interesting to get an idea with the roster. As I explained in the post, however, here's what's important, though. I think that's not in these numbers. For example, Georgia, clearly good. They're underachieving. Quarterback, Okay. The in and outs recruit a lot of good quarterbacks, but they've left. So a lot of those guys were in, a lot of those guys left. They brought guys in, but the constant flow of guys in and out and the lack of development of the offense has kind of held Georgia back a little bit, right? I mean, to some degree, they went to a national championship game and almost won it with a quarterback that they developed very well. That's what's held them back. And, you know, that's the difference between, say, Alabama and Georgia. If you listen to the numbers, in fact, it was very close. Had it not been for this class of Alabama, you could put Georgia 1 and Alabama 2. The difference is at some of the key positions, like at quarterback, Alabama's been a little bit better and certainly been better developing. But it is important to know, okay, that's great. That's fine. Look at it. It's fun to look at. How many of those people are going to stay? Because this is where it's going to change, you know, and it can change more than ever before. Because guys are going to pick up and leave, and now you got to train. Well, boom. You know, just like, all right, well, then how about those numbers? Well, it's this guy. It's this five-star here. So Eric Gilbert is no longer at LSU. He's at Florida. Five-star guy. How does he develop? Does he say, you know, all those things to be determined. So anyway, a lot of fun. If you want to check it out, you could check every conference out. And I think it's fun to see how it compares to, you know, the best. Just to give you an idea real quick, Clemson clearly. Clemson has got, by comparison, 11 five-stars, 3 in this coming class, 36 four-stars, 10. So not where Georgia, Ohio State, 16 five-stars, 5 coming in, 52 four-stars, 13 coming in. They're right in that group.
Where's Florida State? Grind's asking, he says, is Norvell the guy to turn FSU into a
Florida State is now third, but a distant third, obviously, with Miami and Florida State in that cluster. 2 five-stars, 33 four-stars with 7 coming in. The big thing is, hold on, Grind. Let's see how 2022 class. If you remember LandryFootball.com, Florida State is kicking ass in 2022 and 2023 recruiting. Folks, it's early. So when you're talking 6, 7, 8 commitments, that doesn't tell you that's not a class. But right now what they have, really good. If they finish with a top 5 class, they're already now getting some of the best players in 2022, 2023. So, I mean, really good. Do I think they're going to end up higher than Clemson? No, but let's see how that plays out. You remember Tennessee had a class that looked like it was going to be the very best. And, you know, it's good, but it wasn't great. Real quick, Oklahoma is the best in the not by a large margin, though. 5 five-stars with 1 coming in, with 45 four-stars with 12 coming in. Texas with 4 and 1 coming in. 49 four-stars with 9 coming in. So really, it's negligible, Oklahoma and Texas, in terms of talent, what they've done with it. It's a little bit different. Oregon leading the way, but USC is a lot closer than people think.
Yep.
It's actually really close there. And then, if you want to know who is the most talented-looking roster in the group of 5, what would you think?
I will say either Cincinnati or UCF.
Houston, Cincinnati, UCF, SMU, Memphis, Boise, Florida Atlantic, Florida International, USF, East Carolina, Tulane, Louisiana Tech. I'll stop there. There's a bunch more. You can get all of it there.
I'm going to let Chris wrap up the show here in just a minute. I've got to go in a second. First, I do want to tell you that we're brought to you by Blue Sky. Blue Sky believes in being fast, fresh, and friendly. Through the thoughtful layout and cleanliness of their stores, Blue Sky hopes to provide customers with a fast and easy buying experience, from services to products. Blue Sky plans to keep things fresh and always provide the freshest flavors of their brand name products, the best services available. They even bring in some of the newest products on the market to their stores to provide an even better customer experience. They want to show their customers that they care about them and their shopping experience. They'll always strive to improve their efforts to accomplish exactly that. So check out Blue Sky today at any one of their 48 store locations across the Southeast. We are also brought to you by Alpha Specialties. You can give Alpha Specialties a call at 601-932-9798 or check them out at alphaofms.com. They're located at 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi, your trailer-specific professional. If you want to haul it, they can call it Alpha's the premium trailer dealership in Mississippi. They've got Load Trail, the premium brand trailer, the highest quality utility equipment, dump and gooseneck trailers being built today. They also have Hallmark cargo trailers, one of the most quality cargo trailers on the market, perfect for hauling goods to markets and shows, ATVs to deer camps, hauling race cars and more. They can even work with third parties to have game day trailers and concession trailers built just for your specifications. And for podcast listeners, Alpha has spare tires and wheels starting at just $100, a full selection of trailer parts and accessories, hitches, winches, straps, and more. They can also do all types of truck accessories. And podcast listeners get 10% off a yearly trailer service and inspection at Alpha's full service shop, where they can repair all types of trailers, concession, horse, utility, enclosed, gooseneck, RV, and more. So give them a call at 601-932-9798 or alphaofms.com. Make sure you tell them you heard about Alpha on the MPW Digital Network of Podcasts, including SEC Football and Beyond.
All right. Well, send her off.
All right, Chris.
Wish I will talk well. To you
soon. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks a bunch, Niels. Got to run a little bit earlier. Daughter back off to college. We wish them the best. We're going to wrap it up a little bit, answer a couple of questions here that you might want to have. But a couple of things to keep in mind, too. Yeah, we've got that over at Landry Football. Franchise tag designation opens today in the NFL. Some notes there. Got a piece up there about who the potential franchise candidates are with each team. Folks, there's going to be probably less tags than normal years, because of the fact that the salary cap is low, and you look at the numbers, it's going to be more difficult to put a tag on a player, fit that number under the cap. But the ones you're going to want to keep an eye out for, or probably the biggest storyline with regards to that is whether the Cowboys are going to have to use the tag again on Dak, or can they make progress on a long-term deal? That's the key. It is going to be so difficult if they have to carry the tag number doing it again this year. It's just going to take such a, I mean, not a bite, a gulp, I mean a tiger shark type gouge into their cap, that it's going to be very, very difficult. So we've got that for you as well. Also working on who are the best available college free agents. I mentioned Henry Toto'otu, the linebacker, Gaiotti from USC, is a really good player, Lance Dixon. So you want to know who's out there in college free agents. I kind of throw it into that category. You got that out as well. What else did I want to get to today? Let's answer a couple of questions before we get in. Somebody says, how far is O'Grien asked, how far is Ohio State and the rest of the Big Ten? It is significant. There's no question about it that Ohio State is, by comparison, again, 16 five stars, five coming in, 52 four stars, 13 coming in. If you're looking though at the drop off, so 16 five stars, five coming in, Michigan's got two with one coming in, Penn State's got one with none coming in. Four stars, 52, with 13 more four stars coming in. Michigan, 41 of those guys with 12 coming in. Penn State, 47 with six coming in. So there is definitely the gap, and there's no question that from a just a pure talent gap standpoint, it's Ohio State, then it's Michigan, Penn State, then it's kind of Nebraska. And believe it or not, you know who's making a move in that next step is Maryland. Maryland and Wisconsin in that same category, yet doing it completely different. Maryland getting more talent. Wisconsin's actually getting their typical type of backs and offensive linemen that's pretty good, but mostly developmental guys. So interesting to see here. Is Gus now the best group of five coach? Brian asking, no, I don't think so. I think Luke Fickell is. I think he's really, really good coach. But it's interesting because I think Brian Harsin was one of those guys as well, and he's now off to Auburn. So good move there. Is you know, yeah, Indiana, Georgia Rebel says, talking about Indiana, he's not on that list. There's no question that they've developed very well. In fact, Indiana is in the last tier with Rutgers, Illinois, and Northwestern ahead of Rutgers and Illinois. So the tier is that after Maryland, Wisconsin's Iowa, Michigan State, Minnesota, Purdue, then the last tier is Northwestern, Indiana, Rutgers, and Illinois bringing it up. But there again, keep up to date. Rutgers just got a very impressive four-star commitment from a very good offensive lineman in the state of New Jersey, something a little bit unusual for them, but not so unusual when Schiano has been there. He's been able to get a few of those guys. So this guy's pretty good. So, you know, keep that in mind. A reminder, check out Landry Football. Check out RebelGrove.com, the great job that those folks do. I know you're Ole Miss fans, but your SEC fans are going to love that. Check out LandryFootball.com. So right now what we've got, as you as I've noted, a lot of college stuff we've got on there. We've got the free agent stuff. I'm beginning the off-season scouting season analysis for each team with the needs and, you know, kind of where they are and kind of take you through this free agent process. The process, the new league year starts up coming in a couple of weeks. I call it the unofficial start of the season. Remember, the tag day, it starts today. It extends through March 9th. We've got that for you. Certainly be bringing in all the draft stuff, been working on the draft stuff. We'll be bringing that out there for you. But college information, recruiting information, draft information, NFL information, all at LandryFootball.com. Take advantage of the scouting season discount today. We appreciate you joining us, joining Neil and I. And join us again Friday for another edition of SEC Football and Beyond. Have a great day. Have a safe day, everybody.